Welcome to the Brant Advocate Podcast. My name is Mark LaFerrier. Now we are also streaming at Radio Laurier in addition to iTunes and Podomatic. So many great ways to hear the podcast. Behind me we have Stephen Branchaud with a song called I Can't Make You Love Me. I actually think he can make you love him because he's quite a good musician, a very, very good songwriter, a great live performer playing in the Brantford area regularly. And you can check him out and learn more about him at facebook.com/Stephen Branchaud Music. Great musician. When the song is over, we will be back talking to Stephen Boudreau about the Laramie Project, a very great project coming to the Brantford Arts Block. And we'll also have, for the second time on the podcast, Phil Gillies. So listen to some Stephen Branchaud, check him out on his Facebook page, and we will be back in a few moments.
Searching for gold in a cold night, and I've been thinking of ways to say that you're all I need for the rest of my days. And I can't make her you love me, and I know this much is true, that your love is driving me crazy, crazy when I'm without you. I'm going crazy when I'm without you. Falling for so long, and I just can't get no relief. But listen, baby, when I get home, I'm gonna sweep you off all your feet.
What a great tune by Stephen Branchaud. Check him out, facebook.com/Stephen Branchaud Music. First time I saw him, actually, was opening for Craig Cardiff, who will be coming back to Brantford once again at the Brown Dog Speakeasy in downtown Brantford on December 6th. You can check out all the information about that show at craigcardiff.com, but definitely check out Stephen Branchaud, facebook.com/Stephen Branchaud Music. So, on the podcast today, which, as I mentioned before, is also now streaming on Radio Laurier, so you can check that out at radiolaurier.com, we have two really, really good conversations. The first, I will be speaking with Stephen Boudreau, who is doing this great project called the Laramie Project. This is a really fascinating story about a young man who was the victim of a hate crime, a true story. And Stephen Boudreau has decided to bring this to Brantford, and he's doing it in a very interesting way. We're going to delve into that on the podcast. The performance, for those who are interested, will be at the Brantford Arts Block. The Brantford Arts Block is a great venue, 111 Sherwood Drive, and performances will be on October 24th, 25th, and 26th. Now, at the end of each performance, there actually will be a panel of some kind on various topics related to bullying, anti-violence, and anti-homophobia. A lot of great people starring in this play, folks like Mayor Chris Friel, MPP and Speaker of the Legislature Dave Levac, several city councillors, Sean Allen from the Brant News, Michael Allen Marion from the Brantford Expositor, some people you're going to be familiar with from The Advocate, like myself, Gail Mike, Ryan Jamula, all have parts in this great production. So he's done something really, really fascinating. He's taken this story, this true story, and with his team, he's done this community development project, and we have a really good conversation about it, talking about what this means for a community like ours, what this meant for the community where this issue originated. So again, October 24th, 25th, 26th at the Brantford Arts Block, the theater of the Brantford Arts Block at 111 Sherwood Drive, 7:30 p.m. curtain. Tickets are $20, and they're available at the door. And if you need more information, you can always call 519-753-9561 to learn more about the project. But Each of these are going to be really fascinating performances with a different panel at the end of it. And I'm just really grateful that a community project like this is part of something that's happening in Brantford and the surrounding area. And I think that for those of you who haven't been to the Arts Block, I think you'll be very, very pleasantly, not even surprised, just pleasantly happy about a venue like this, a good medium-sized venue for theater and music and such. So it's one of those plays that's guaranteed to not leave a dry eye in the house. And you're also guaranteed to see a lot of familiar faces, a lot of community members who are doing some pretty amazing things. So Stephen Boudreau, myself, have a great conversation, and I bring it to you now. So I am here with Stephen Boudreau, who is Recovery Theater, and he is doing a really cool project, happy to be a small part of it, the Laramie Project. And this is an association with Counterpoint Church and Harold and Getz Timber Mart. Stephen, for those who don't know what the Laramie Project is, what is it?
Well, it's a play that is about an incident that happened about 15 years ago, around, I think it was 1998. There was in Laramie, Wyoming, a young gay Wyoming University student was picked up in a bar in Laramie by a couple of thugs, taken out to the outskirts of town, and there brutally beaten and left for dead. And there was a...
Tied to a fence, if I recall, right?
That's right, tied to a fence and left for dead. This really caught wildfire throughout the country. It spread. There were vigils going on throughout the United States. And a theater company in New York was inspired by this act and traveled out to Laramie. And over the next 18 months, conducted about 200 interviews.
So a theater company is doing the interviews, not like a documentary.
No, these are not professional interviewers or, no, it wasn't a documentary at all. These guys, in fact, the theater company itself and the members were a little bit hesitant and a little bit scared about performing this role. And it was kind of a challenge for them. And the director, Moses Kaufman, was kind of trying to create a new type of theater as well, mm-hmm. which I'm attracted to in terms of its social content and community orientation and everything. So
it's kind of the theater version of cinema verite to a degree.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting real people, so they're getting to know the people before they portray them on stage.
That's right, and that's one of the things that it's all about, is that here's a view of this event. About this town, by the characters in this town, in their own words and in their own impressions. So it really is a kind of a snapshot of this event as explained and understood by about 70 members, characters in that town.
A small New York, was a New York theater company, goes to Wyoming, of all places, after a tragedy, talks to 70 plus citizens, gets an impression, gets quotes that you wouldn't necessarily get if you were the media, if you were a psychologist, if you were a police officer. They try to inhabit these roles and create something that, also using, there was footage too from the news conferences of the time and things like that. So they study this intently and then put on a dramatic play, a recreation from all of these different points of view, from over 70 points of view of what happened. So from the attacker's point of view, from the family of the victim's point of view, from, I play a hospital administrator in this, there is, police officers, sheriffs, judges, my goodness, there's a lot here. So what was the unique twist of doing this in Brantford? What did you do that?
The way this thing came about in my mind was that about 2 years ago, and I think you'll probably remember, and even today, I mean, it continues, there was this series of young gay teens that were, every couple months, were reported in the news, that were come to the conclusion that the only thing that they could do, given their bullying, people were picking on them, bullying them and everything, the only thing that they could do to react to that was to take their lives.
Right.
There was this whole series of suicides of gay teenagers. So I just felt that...
Teens commit suicide more often than most demographics, but LGBTQ teens commit suicide even more so, much more so, actually.
That's right. And I just felt that, and I talked to a number of people that something had to be said about that. And that's when I started thinking about how we could do as a theater, how we could represent and bring this to the fore. And I came across this play. I knew about it before, and it seemed to be a pretty good thing. And it's very much a community play, as you talk about, because it represents a lot of community members within that community. And I just felt that I wanted to replicate that in some way.
So how did
and
you
so the
about
idea
that?
Was to actually okay. Usually, this play is represented by about 8 or 9 actors, and they take on about 10 roles.
10 roles each. So there's 78 plus roles.
Yeah.
8 or 10 actors take on.
So I got this.
Roles.
I got this really crazy idea that we could get one actor or one character, one community member to play one role. So basically, looking for about 70 actors or 70 community members.
Jeez, that's ambitious.
Well, yeah, it was. It turned out to be, and we also wanted to get the leaders. You know, so I was interested in counselors. I was interested in the mayor. I was interested in the MPP. I was also interested in industry agency leaders and people that, you know, university leaders and yourself included. And so the idea was that I knew that they would not be able to commit to a long rehearsal process and even an extended production period. So I thought came up with the big idea of maybe putting this on film. Or putting some of those characters on film and then integrating the film and the live readings of this.
So the idea is sort of that the mayor plays the mayor of Utah.
Well, the mayor actually plays a judge.
Okay, but that's you could see a parallel in those in those relationships.
The Dave Levesque plays the
Speaker of the House of Utah. No.
Yeah, no. He plays the governor.
Okay. Perfect. That makes sense.
We gave him a promotion. the counselors play jury members.
Oh, smart.
You know, so I wanted to keep it down to manageable proportions for
you have people like Chris Friel, Dave Levesque. Are in this, as well as counselors David Newman, John Utley, Dan McCreary, Vince Bucci, Marguerite Cheshire Smith, Debbie Dignan Rumble. I know that there are Michael Dow from the legal clinic is playing. Is it a Baptist minister?
No. Michael actually is playing a number of different roles. He's one of the live actors.
Oh, okay.
And he's reading a number of different roles.
I remember at the first reading we did in Eagle Place many moons ago, he had quite this great southern drawl that he brought. John Massini from Counterpoint Church, is he playing?
He's playing the Baptist minister.
Oh, okay. So you have a minister playing a minister.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That's really cool. I know I work in healthcare. I'm playing the hospital administrator.
Right.
And you found parallels of the community to kind of fit.
Yeah, and people that I knew. As well, I fit some characters. I knew the characters, so I kind of mated a person's general outlook and general demeanor, with the character, so that it was an easier transition.
Well, that's a great idea, and it's neat in two ways. One, because it makes the people who are in this play, more people who have to actually think about this, who maybe don't think about this in a daily way.
Yeah.
But you're also, if you're going to this, you're going to see a familiar face. You're going to see a Rena Malin or a Gail Mike or a Stephen B. Andrews or Robert Fagan, Robin Matthews Osmond, John Gafuscia. I've known John Gafuscia since I was in grade 4. Like, it's going to be really exciting to see.
Well, John is surprised to see himself.
Oh, I bet.
Some of these people, the last thing that they would think of would find themselves in a play and on screen and being a film star.
Well, but here they find themselves. But it's going to be a live community theater experience. So people are going to go to the Brantford Arts Block and then get information at 519-753-9400 to get their reservations at the door. Or they can call Recovery Theater at 519-753-9561. Or they could email recovtheater@yahoo.ca. But it's going to be playing on October 24th, 25th, and 26th at 7:30 p.m. at 111 Sherwood Drive at the Brantford Arts Block. Yeah. So if people are coming to this, what's the experience that you're hoping they're going to get from beginning to end?
Well, we never set out to do this at first. But you know, well, here's the thing, right? We've cut the play down to manageable size. We wanted to get it down to about an hour and a half.
Okay.
And the reason we did this, because every performance is followed by a focus group or panel discussion.
So if you want to stay, you can stay a topic.
That's right.
And what are the topics?
We got three topics. The first topic on Thursday night is called Lessons from Laramie, what educators can learn from the Laramie Project. And this is a group of, we got some university professors involved. We've got, and you know, I didn't write them down, and I'm having a brain freeze. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. So you have some of the Laurier Brandt professors who are going to speak to.
That's right. And the moderator will be Jeanette Lafreniere. She's a professor from.
She's great.
She's a
social work professor from Laurier
University. From the master's program. That's right. Yeah. From.
I've done some work with her before. She is whip smart and has lots to say. And,
yeah, she'll bring a lot of life to the event. The dean of students will be there.
Oh, great.
I forget his name. Armstrong. Or something, but okay. I shouldn't say that because I do forget his name. The second night is on Friday. The performance will be followed by Laramie from a spirituality perspective, and that's religion and spirituality. John Massimi. We have a moderator, Vanderwatt, Wendy Vanderwatt. I didn't write the name down.
That's okay. Darn. That's okay. I, you know, if people go, they're going to see. But the general tone is going to be that there's going to be discussion about faith and its faith communities and their impact.
And that's right. And the perspective in terms of bullying, violence, and homophobia. And then the last night is kind of we're looking at on Saturday. You'll be there. You'll be
I'll be speaking on that night. Eh?
What's that?
I'll be speaking on that night.
You'll be speaking.
He told me this beforehand.
Night.
I just wanted to freak him out a little bit.
And that'll be on law enforcement and justice.
Yeah.
We'll be looking at things concerning restorative justice. Mm-hmm. We'll be looking at online bullying, cyberbullying. We'll be looking at a number of aspects of.
Sort of bullying and homophobia as they relate to the law and wellness.
And one of the things that a sort of a common theme throughout these three nights is something that I'm particularly interested in. Mm-hmm. And that is we have legislation.
Mm-hmm.
And we have threatening legislation, and we talk about needing more legislation, and then we also have regulations, and then we also have community. And I wonder about those three things. For example, if in a high school, and I know many high schools that have some of the most amazing regulations in terms of dealing with bullying, violence, homophobia, all those things. The problem is this, is that what we do find, if we don't engage the community itself, if the teachers aren't involved, if the principal's not involved, if the student leaders aren't involved, all those regulations and legislation means very little.
You're talking about the fact that we have to have a culture shift
good
policy.
So a theme that runs throughout all of this is how do we find that balance? How do we find that balance of establishing the proper level of regulation and legislation and at the same time develop more of an engaged community that will in fact stand up to some of these situations of bullying and make it known that this is not something that we accept on the bus, on our buses, on our streets, in our mm-hmm. schools, anywhere that it may be happening.
You know, and you saw that. I mean, in the East Coast, there was that's where that pink shirt campaign started,
right.
Where a kid was being bullied because he wore a pink shirt, and then other kids, cool kids, quote unquote.
Carson's.
Yeah, that's a different situation.
Oh,
but
yes.
But there were the student who was being bullied for wearing a pink shirt, and then there were all these issues that were occurring, and students said, "I'm going to wear a pink shirt. Make fun of me too.
That's right.
Make fun of me too. Make fun."
And that
of,
was an amazing.
And it spread like wildfire.
That's right,
too.
And that's the type of thing that we need to inspire. So all of these evenings, we use the play as a point of departure. We discuss. We take a snapshot of what's happening in Brantford, and we discuss these issues from a Brantford perspective. So we kind of, the experience of someone going to this event is basically starting out with the Laramie Project and slowly transforming into what might be the Brantford Project.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a transitional thing that we use something to inspire us to discuss, well, what's the situation here in Brantford?
Yeah.
How are we dealing with this in Brantford?
How are we dealing with the bullying, the violence,
right.
homophobia, and other phobias, other discriminations as well? Because I know that's... projects like this have been something that you've been very interested in for a very long time. Mm-hmm. And I know you've done a lot of work on anti-discrimination, and it's good because you come at it with this community development perspective, which, again, it brings more people
in. It's critical as far as I'm concerned. I believe very much in the fact that if we don't work together to make a better society, I mean, who's going to do it?
Exactly. Yeah. If not us, then whom, right? Yeah. And, there's a not ask what you can do for your country, what your country can do for you, but let's change that maybe to community.
I was born in those days, and
John F. Kennedy.
John F. Kennedy inspired me an awful lot in my original, in some of my early development.
Well, and I know there's going to be some folks in Eagle Place and in Brantford who may be saying some years down the line that Stephen Boudreau and the Laramie Project inspired them.
It's not what we're looking for. Yeah.
You can't see him blush on the radio, but it is happening. Yeah. So the Recovery Theater, in association with Counterpoint Church and Harold and Getz Timbermart, present the Laramie Project, based on the play by Moses Kaufman, and it's going to be at the Brantford Arts Block at 111 Sherwood Drive, October 24th, 25th, and 26th of 2013, 7:30 p.m. curtain. Afterwards, there's going to be some discussion for those who wish to stay to have that discussion. And the tickets are available. How much are the tickets?
$20.
$20, and they're available at the door. They're or you can reserve them by calling the Brantford Arts Block at 519-753-9400. And if you need more information about this play that's been sponsored by Counterpoint Church, Harold and Getz Timbermart, The Bridge, the Grand River Community Health Center, the Trillium Foundation, the Corporation of the City of Brantford, Wilfrid Laurier University, and the Recovery Theater, you can always call 519-753-9561 or go to an email, recovtheatre@yahoo.ca. I cannot wait. I know this has been a project that's been 2 years in the making, and that's incredible to say. 2 years in the making from your mind, but then also from that first reading 2 years ago now in Eagle Place at the community center there. And it's going to be great to see it realized. How's it been? The Arts Block has been a sponsor of some of our events, and we're sponsoring some of theirs. How's it been setting things up at the Arts Block? A lot of people haven't been there yet, so I think it's going to be an interesting... That's another reason to go, just to check out the Arts Block.
I love the place. I love old buildings. Mm-hmm. I'm so pleased that these buildings are being repurposed. I'm particularly pleased that that a lot of them are being repurposed from an arts and creative point of view. Just the ambiance of this type of place is great for our community, for the arts community, but also for the broader community. As far as the personnel there, Jerry LaFleur.
Yeah.
I say this publicly. He's a saint.
Yes, he is. He is. When we had our 2-year anniversary party, him and Ashley, Josh was on leave, paternal leave, but him and Ashley did so much to make it good. Mm-hmm. And really appreciate it. And Josh and David and the board. I'm on the board, full disclosure. I'm finishing up my term soon. But we had that party there and it was wonderful. I'm getting married there.
Oh, cool.
You know, in
I didn't
May.
Know that.
Yeah, I'm really excited about that because I just thought, what a great venue for a lot of these things. There's Susan Dignan's play, The Horrors, which is going to be in November. Yeah. And then this play. So I think this is great as a medium-sized venue for plays in the community to do, and I'm happy to see that. I'm happy to see that happening. And this project, the Laramie Project, we haven't really talked about this piece, but it's really well written as well. So if you're going to come, you're going to see some great theater. You're going to see people you know. We always joke in the Advocates about people you know, people you don't, and the people you thought you did. Well, you're going to see some people you know, and you're going to have a special experience. It's at times a kind of quirky, funny play. It's at times a very deep play, but it's a real play about a real community that could have been Brantford.
And could be anywhere.
And that's kind of the
and
point.
And that's what it's about. That's
so right. The Laramie Project, the Brantford Project, and, Recovery Theater is doing really good work on here. Way to mobilize the community.
No, thanks.
Well, thank you, and thanks for sharing your time. We really appreciate it. Sorry. Speaking of which, I'm going to say this publicly, I'm going to put you on the spot. We can't wait to read any submission from you to the Brand Advocate.
Ah.
A written submission. Come on, we're past 2 years now. You got to write something soon.
Well, I was thinking about doing a follow-up, looking at these three events that follow the plays and kind of put it together and do a follow-up piece on bullying, violence, and homophobia.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
And you better answer that phone.
I did answer that phone. I got to that phone for sure after a conversation with Stephen Boudreaux, who is doing so much work with so many other people in the community on the Laramie Project. So he has actually over 50 community leaders and citizens who are concerned about bullying, violence, and homophobia in the cast, and a great crew behind the scenes doing video and stage production and the rest. A pretty monumental project, and I hope you got a taste for what it might be like. So you can check out more about that through the Brantford Arts Block. You can call them at 519-753-9400 to make a reservation for the tickets, or you can just pick them up at the door. And if you want more information, contact the Recovery Theatre Company directly at 519-753-9561. I hope that there are going to be more performances than the three. I think with the use of video, it's something that we could really see, and it's something that's definitely needed in our community. We also are going to bring you now a conversation from Advocate Television. Advocate Television is our TV show. It's the Brand Advocates TV show, which is appears 6 times a week, if you can believe that. 6 times a week on Rogers Television in Brantford, and 2 times a week on Rogers Television in Cambridge. So we do this weekly show, myself and Lucas Duguid, Octopus Red on Twitter, and in the conversation we have on those shows, we're going to try and bring some of those shows, some of those conversations to the podcast so that you get another opportunity for those of you who haven't been able to catch the show. Maybe those of you who don't have cable, you can actually check out the show through, you know, waiting a little bit and hearing it on the podcast. So Lucas and Phil Gillies, who I had to my home recently for an initial podcast recording, we recorded that some months ago. They had another conversation with a very different flavor on Advocate Television, and it is our pleasure to bring you that conversation between Lucas Duguid at Octopus Red on Twitter and Phil Gillies at Phil Gillies on Twitter, as they talk about Eagle Place, they talk about Phil's career, and they have a fun conversation. So let's bring it to you now.
Welcome back to Advocate Television. I am joined by two-time MPP, former cabinet minister, and current PC party candidate, Phil Gillies.
Hello, Lucas.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Phil.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Well, this is awesome. So we mentioned in the intro of the segment that it's possible you were in a Duran Duran video.
I'm afraid I was. I didn't intend to be, but I was. I get kidded about that a lot. When they were touring in the 80s, mm-hmm. they had a big hit called The Reflex.
I remember that well.
And I went with a friend. We were at a concert at Maple Leaf Gardens in 1986, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And they were shooting the live video for The Reflex in the gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, I think it's about 1 minute and 20 seconds into the video, I think, they shoot up into the crowd, and there's this idiot dancing away like a madman. And I'm afraid it's me.
Right.
And, of course, the video went to number one, was all over the world.
Oh,
and
that's awesome.
And there you are. And I get asked about it on YouTube. People, oh, you know, was that you?
That's hysterical.
Yeah. Some lady in Australia posted in the last year. She said, "I've always wondered who that guy was."
That's funny.
Yeah, it's
good stuff. Ever cool. There's an absolute mountain we can talk about. I know we've had you write for the paper a couple times.
Mm-hmm.
A big supporter of the Advocate.
Love it.
I've got a huge list here. I want to start with Eagle Place.
Well, first place I lived. In Brantford. Our family moved from England and we settled in Eagle Place in 1961, I guess. I think I was 7.
Mm.
And lived on Cayuga Street.
Mm.
And the last piece I wrote for The Advocate was about inheriting this toque, black and orange toque, which meant nothing to me.
Mm.
And but it was warm,
mm.
and we didn't have a lot of money, so any hand-me-down clothes we could get to keep us warm was great.
Sure.
And off I went to Princess Elizabeth School, first day of school, wearing this orange and black toque, and at recess I got beaten up because I was wearing a Boston Bruins toque.
Oh, no.
And Eagle Place and Brantford generally was Maple Leafs territory,
sure.
So this... I didn't wear it to school again after that.
Wow, I guess not, eh?
Yeah. That's learned my lesson on that one.
Wow.
That was the first thing I really got to know about hockey.
That's funny. One of the things I have to admit, I mean, even though we're friends and we know each other, you're one of the only people I know who has a Wikipedia page. So I was exploring your Wikipedia page, and I have to say, among other things, in 2011, I'll read this right from Wikipedia.
Mm-hmm.
In 2011, Gillies helped spearhead a national campaign to have shark fin banned in Canada. He led his hometown of Brantford to become the first municipality in North America to ban the trade and possession of shark through a bylaw passed on May 24th, 2011.
Yeah.
Now, I talk to people about this occasionally, it comes up, and oftentimes I'm met with, I don't understand, what's a shark fin?
Oh, okay. No, it's a fair question. I've had a long association with a worldwide conservation group called WildAid,
mm-hmm.
and I was working with them, and they asked me to spearhead this campaign to start the ball rolling to get shark fin banned in Canada, which is a worldwide movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's being banned here and there. The issue is simply that something approximating 100 million sharks are killed every year.
Wow.
It's a huge
really?
Industry, and all that's being stripped off of these animals is the fins, which are used in making shark fin soup.
Wow.
And as the middle classes become wealthier in Asia,
mm-hmm.
there's a huge market for shark fin soup, which is kind of a ceremonial thing, and
sure.
it's an indicator that you're doing well financially and so on. But it's endangering species of shark. They're on the verge of going extinct, many of them. And if we don't reverse this trend, the implications for the ecology in our oceans is really serious.
Well, and I think, too, what a lot of people don't realize that, and the reason behind this visceral response that people have around this, I mean, animals are turned into food in industries all over, but
sure.
this in particular, the process by which this can happen, I mean, you can find it on YouTube, but maybe you can illustrate that a little.
Yeah, the process is called shark finning, and unfortunately, the fishermen who haul these sharks on board their boats, they usually don't go to the trouble of killing the shark. So they just hack the fins off
wow.
while the animal's still alive, throw it back in the ocean where it dies.
And they
know.
Throw it back after all that.
Yeah, because, well, you see, it's the economics. All they want is the fin,
wow.
and it doesn't make sense to haul a 2-ton animal back to port when all you want is about 50 pounds off of it.
That's brutal.
Yeah, so it's a cruel process. It's really, really bad in terms of conservation.
All for the sake of soup.
All for the sake of soup. But worldwide, shark fin's a billion-dollar industry.
That's extraordinary.
So, yeah, I get asked about that. Why did we start the campaign
mm-hmm.
nationwide in Canada? Why did we start in Brantford? And the answer simply is because I could. I found supporters on our city council. Mayor Friel was terrific.
Sure.
Dan McCreary, John Utley, Dave Newman, and others got behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a largely symbolic gesture because shark fin wasn't being served to any extent in Brantford.
Well, and also we're obviously landlocked. We're not. Yeah.
But that's what I said to WildAid. I
mm-hmm.
said, this is going to be a worldwide story if we do it because it's so quirky. Why is this small city in the middle of Canada banning shark fin?
Sure.
And sure enough, when the release went out, it was picked up and run all over the world. And that led to the bans that have since been put in place in Toronto, London, Newmarket, and into the lower mainland in British Columbia.
Well, that's extraordinary.
It's gone right across the country, and it all started
here.
It started in Brantford, yep.
Wow. MacArthur Eagle Place.
Somerset Road and wherever else.
No,
yeah,
sure, that's amazing. I know we've got a big list here of stuff we can talk about. Lighthouse in support of it was last November.
Yeah, that was the
Freedom House.
Yeah, that was the benefit concert we put together for the Kindness Project,
yes.
The Freedom House. I think a lot of people in town know about the
mm-hmm.
Kindness Project and Captain Kindness.
Sure.
Some people rumor. The Captain Kindness is Dave Carroll. I can't confirm or deny
that.
It's
like poker room. They're never in that.
It's like Batman or Superman. You're not supposed to know.
Sure.
And we put together the Lighthouse concert last fall.
Mm-hmm.
Very successful. We had about 900 people at the Sanderson Center.
Mm-hmm.
Made some money for the project, which was great. And we had a super committee,
mm-hmm.
both Freedom House people and other people that we put together to do it. Mike Santamon helped, and MJ Perry, and Trevor Chiruka, and as well as the Freedom House people,
sure.
and Steve Birchall. It was great. And I can't say too much right now, but it looks like there's going to be another benefit concert for Freedom House. I'm starting to put something together, and I think we have a major major artist who's interested.
Oh, wow.
And I hope that we'll be announcing something in the near future.
Sure, we'll have to have you back on. Well, maybe you can
I'd love to share
that with us down
the road. I think people will be quite excited when they hear who I hope is going to be coming.
I have to say, one of the high watermarks for me at the Lighthouse concert, and if you recall, was a trombone player who came out center stage.
Yes.
And he did that solo. Now, I have to say, in my 37 years, I have never been worked up over a trombone solo. But that brought the house down.
And he was unbelievable.
If you were there, you remember that solo. That was
amazing. I mean, there are a lot of old Lighthouse fans in Brantford, Brant County, but a lot of people may not be aware. They are extraordinary musicians.
Sure.
I mean, they play rock, but they play jazz too. And when you see them live on a good night, it's kind of a hair-raising experience.
They were terrific.
Yeah.
I think you hit it right on the head there. It was extraordinary.
And they loved playing here. Skip Prokop, the leader of Lighthouse, and their manager, Brenda Hofford, they told me it was one of the best audiences, and the feeling was great in the Sanderson. And Brenda Hofford told me afterwards, she said, the band felt really loved.
Oh, that's good.
They felt really loved. Good. And I'm telling you, they would come back and play in Brantford anytime.
Good. Well, that's great to hear. Now, I know we're rapidly closing out, but I do want to talk to you about Expo World's Fair.
That's a committee I've been working on as a volunteer for a couple of years. There is a proposal to bring the World's Fair to Toronto in 2025. Now that sounds a long time off.
That's some advanced planning.
Yeah, but you have to have your proposal pretty well complete and submitted to the international body in Paris, the big Paris, not our Paris. That has to be worked out and submitted by the committee and by Canada by the end of 2016.
Wow.
So, I mean, it's a long ramp up to do one of these World's Fairs.
That's extraordinary.
And, well, Canada's got a long history with this. We had, some people argue the most successful World's Fair ever was Expo 67 in Montreal, and then another very successful fair in Vancouver in 1986.
Mm-hmm.
And it's time for the fair to come back to North America. We think if Canada, all of us across the country, got behind a bid for Toronto to host in 2025, we have a very good chance of getting it.
Mm-hmm.
The feedback we're getting from the international group is we would have an excellent chance of getting it. So I've been working on that. There would be benefits spilling well beyond the GTA. There would be a lot of business to be had, including, I hope, with my connection to the committee, that we could drive a lot of business into Brantford and Brant County if we were successful.
Sure. Well,
if we pull it off, it would be the largest single event ever held in Ontario. Millions and millions of people go to a World's Fair, which runs over 6 months. And to put it in perspective, it would be the largest single event ever held in our province.
Wow.
So it is kind of exciting.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, listen, thank you very much for coming on.
Anytime, Phil. Lucas. I really enjoyed it.
You made this too easy.
I love the Advocate. I've enjoyed being associated with it for a couple of years now. And I hope to keep working with you as we go forward and keep up the good work.
Well, we appreciate the support, sir.
Oh, my pleasure.
A nice effortless conversation between Lucas Duguid, our publisher and co-owner of the Brant Advocate, and Phil Gillies. Phil Gillies, again, can be found on Twitter at Phil Gillies. Lucas can be found on Twitter at Octopus Red. And speaking of conversation, I guess we speak a conversation a lot on Advocate Television and also on the podcast. But if you want to continue the conversation, you can always contact us at contact@brantadvocate.com. You can find us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/brantadvocate. You can find us on brantadvocate.com, which is our website, Twitter @brantadvocate. And again, you can listen to this podcast now on Radio Laurier. Check that out, radiolaurier.com. And also the usual spots, iTunes, just search term Brant Advocate, and Podomatic also have opportunities for you to check out the podcast. You can check it out on your smartphone, Android device, iPad, iPod, iPhone. And we also have the television show again, which has been going great. It's been a great experience. We've been able to work with Patty Berardi and so many other folks on that show. And I'm just over the moon about it. I know Lucas and I, it's just so good to be able to to be on a television station that's supporting good conversation and local content, which is what we're all about at Brand Advocate Podcast and brandadvocate.com. So we thank you so much for your support as we move towards one more song, one more great tune by Stephen Branchode, who you can check out facebook.com/Stephen Branchode. He's been playing so much in the community, everything from the Gretzky Center reopening to Legends in Paris. He's been playing in Waterloo. He's been playing just at Xander's. He's been playing all over town. So you can always find out whereabouts he's been playing by going to facebook.com/Stephen Branchode Music. And I'm so happy that he has given us permission to play songs from his album Raw. That's the name of the album, and you can probably find it anywhere he's playing. I'm sure he's selling these wherever he is. So great local music and great local conversation on the Brand Advocate Podcast. Until next time, as always, remember, keep on advocating.
I wish I could be a superhero. I wish I could come and save your life. I wish I could walk the straight and narrow. I wish I knew how to make things right. But until then, I'll be faithful and I won't lie. I'll be grateful and I'll treat you right. All I want is just to hold you tight. I'll be yours if you be mine tonight. I wish I were more than ordinary. I wish I could fly away somehow. I wish I could be a sanctuary. I wish I could never let you down. But until then, I'll be faithful and I won't lie. I'll be grateful and I'll treat you right. All I want is just to hold you tight. I'll be yours if you be mine tonight. You are a shooting star, a beautiful work of art. You are every single beat of my heart. And you are the air I breathe and everything in between. I swear I'm gonna make you believe, yeah. I'll be faithful and I won't lie. I'll be grateful and I'll treat you right. All I want is just to hold you tight. I'll be yours if you be mine. I'll be faithful and I won't lie. I'll be grateful and I'll treat you right. All I want is just to hold you tight. I'll be yours if you be mine tonight. Oh, tonight.